This morning, as your outline is, we finished up the curse of the woman and the serpent. We got those backwards. It was the serpent mentioned and then the woman's curse. This morning, we'll be looking at the curse of man, what all the repercussions was. And there's something I want to point out in this curse, in the curse of sin. As you know, God told man that if he ate of that fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that he would die. He said, "You surely die." And so we know the curse of sin is death. So I want to look at some things here, though. So now we're talking about the man, man judgment. But because of the curse of sin, first of all, we know there's death because of that curse. Can you tell me some other things that have been a curse because of sin? I mean, just think of some things that has also came to the world because of sin.
Sickness.
Yeah. As we just said this morning, we had so many people right now that are sick. If it had not been for the curse of sin, sickness would never have occurred. Somebody give me another? Go ahead.
Pain during childbirth.
Yes, that's right. Pain during childbirth. We talked about that last week. Pain in labor and... What else did he say she was going to have besides pain? Sorrow. Remember, sorrow. So there would be no sorrow if it were not for the curse of sin. So far we've got, there would be no death, there would be no sickness, no pain, labor, no sorrow. What else did sin bring forth?
Having a hard time growing vegetables and growing your food.
That's right. We have to work for everything we do. And so work came out of the curse of sin. Anybody think of something else?
Just the relationship with the Lord.
There you are. We were alienated to God because of sin. So we'll say alienation to God. Anybody else?
You have to start sacrificing to atone for sin.
There had to be an atonement for sin, which is a result, again, of death. Remember, as soon as God created clothing for Adam and Eve, he took the skins of an animal to make their clothing. That was the first death that the Bible talks about. And so, immediately. So we have to have an atonement, looks like it's this fish, of sin. For sin, I guess. Don't pay attention to my writing. Anybody else? There's something I mentioned last week that it brought forth that they've never experienced before.
Shame.
Okay, there's one of them. Shame. There was another one. So before before the sin came in, they were not ashamed because there was no sin. But then they had to do something. When God came walking through the garden in the evening, what happened? The Bible said that Adam was what? He was afraid. Fear. So sin, the curse of sin brings forth fear. Look at all this already. Here we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Here's 9 things already we've come up with because of the curse of sin. None of this occurred before sin happened. We wouldn't be experiencing any of these things if it not be for sin. I'm sure there's more that we've missed here. Well, think about it as we go. If you come up with another one, tell me. What's that up there? I just saw the one. Punishment. There was no punishment before sin. There was no reason to be. Nobody did anything to be punished for. Chastisement, same thing as punishment. So there's another one. I tell you, friends, disease goes with sickness. We've got sickness on it, yeah. Sickness and disease, so cancer, diabetes, high blood pressure, bad cholesterol, bad sight, bad hearing, teeth rotting. You name it. Anything that happens to our bodies, or health-wise, is because of sin. Because we were designed, man was designed to live forever. Perfect, with no problems. And so, look at all the damage sin brought. Alright, so we're going to pick up this morning there in Genesis chapter 3, verse 17. So we looked at the curse on the serpent, and we saw that God said that he pronounced that he would be on his belly all the time, and he'd be eating dust all his life. And there'd been enmity between him and the woman's seed, his seed and the woman's seed. And he would bruise the heel of the woman's seed, but the woman's seed would crush his head, would bruise his head. In other words, that'd bring death to Satan. So we looked at that as a picture, the bruised heel and the bruised head. We saw that as a picture probably of Christ and sin and the devil. We see that struggle there. And so as we pick up this morning, we look and see what God says about the curse on man. Look at it there in Genesis 3 and 17. It says, unto Adam, he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree, of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou shalt return to the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. All right. So this finishes out finishes the chapter, doesn't it? I just got it in my notes. I didn't read it straight from my Bible. Yeah. Okay. So Lord willing, we'll get through the rest of this, but we do want to focus mainly this morning on this curse of man because of sin, and then if we have time, we'll finish up there about the naming of Eve, the renaming of the woman to Eve, and then the curse of being driven from the garden. So now, I said last Sunday, that we don't find where Eve ever forced Adam to eat of the fruit. Well, if you look at what we just read in verse 17, it said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and is eating the tree. So it's obvious that Eve did do something, said something to him, because he hearkened unto her voice. And so she must have said something. But the Bible doesn't tell us, so we can't say it, matter of fact. But it does lead us to believe that she has said something to him because he hearkened unto her voice. And so she probably said, this is really good, Adam. You need to try it. Or something like that. Or, you know, what God told us was not true, what he told you, that we would die. Because, look, I've ate of this, and I'm not dead. And so maybe she said something like that. We don't know, but he hearkened unto her voice. And so this is another reason, though, why that the sin is placed upon Adam. Adam being whose sin come through. That's what the Bible tells us over and over and over. It never says that sin came through Eve. It came through Adam. And what a sad state for man to fall into. I mean, here's, we named off all these things over here already, the curse of sin. Now we look at what's happened to man because of that sin. He lived in a literal paradise. It was literally paradise. He didn't have to work. He didn't have to do anything. All he had to do was, when he got hungry, reach out and grab something and eat it. I mean, he had it made. Who could ask for more? And so all Adam had to do was just not eat of that one tree out of everything. You know, we find that in our own lives. It seems like the thing that we know we're supposed to avoid, the thing that we're supposed to resist, is always the thing that we focus our attention on. We can have everything to our disposal. Yeah. God bless you with so many things, and yet you want something that's really, we could say, forbidden, something that you should not have, but that's the thing that you've got your desires on. It originated right here in the garden. Adam done it. He's got everything he wants. Why would he do this? Well, that's what sin does, and temptation does. It draws your flesh. And so all he had to do was avoid that one tree, the tree of knowledge. And by the way, if you thought about this, when God told Adam that he was not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, Adam didn't know what evil was. I mean, there was no evil in Adam's eye. He'd never seen evil before. He probably didn't have any comprehension of what evil was. But now that his eyes have been opened because he's ate of this fruit, now he knows what evil is. It immediately sets in, the reality sets in. And so if he had just not ate of that tree, oh, what a difference everything would be. But because of that, Adam sinned. And because Adam sinned, sin was brought forth. Sin brings forth death. Paul writes about it over in Romans 5:12-19. he's explaining to the Christians over in Rome, he's not been there yet. His desire is to go to Rome and be with them. But before he gets there, he writes this letter to them, and he sends it there by one of his helpers. And they receive the letter, and he talks about the sin as it entered in. He says in Romans 5 and 12, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world." Stop a minute. Let's add another one. Before the curse of sin, there was what? There was no law. Now look what we've got. We've got law. Why do we have law? To show us between right and wrong. Men apparently are too stupid to know the difference. And so we've had to have law to say, hey, you can't kill people. That's against the law. You know? And so now we've got law because of the curse of sin. Pick it back up there, verse 13. "But sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, but much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." All right, did we put judgment up there? We've got law, we've got punishment. Let's go ahead and just write judgment down. I mean, there was no judging until sin came in. Judgment. All right, how many we got now?
Could you put awareness of evil or not?
Yeah, that's true, because there was nothing there. Yeah. So, awareness of evil. Let's count them up now. Let's number them this time so I can keep up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and 13. We've already got 13 things caused by sin. All right, let's keep going here. Now, did you notice as I was reading right there from Romans, it says by one man sin entered into the world. Now, I know I keep saying this, that it just came through Adam. It did not say by one woman, even though Eve was the first one to actually sin. Well, Satan was the first to sin. But when it comes to mankind, Eve was the very first one to sin. However, the sin was not laid. She was not the one that God held responsible. He held man, because man is the head of manhood or mankind. Adam was the head of all mankind. And so he is the one that's responsible for the family unit. He's responsible for mankind. Eve was beguiled. We know that. The Bible tells us that Satan beguiled me, or the serpent beguiled me. And so that means he tricked her. He confused her. He tempted her until she was all, her mind couldn't comprehend what she was doing. She sinned. Well, Adam did not have that problem. He wasn't beguiled. He did it outright. He didn't, nobody come tempting. She just, I don't know what she said to him, but she gave him the fruit and he ate it knowing what it was. He knew what it was. And he ate of it willingly. So he willingly rebelled against God. And so then that means that all sin from then until this world's over, it came through Adam. But thank God we have Jesus Christ. Because of the plan of salvation, the offense of one man goes to many, made many sinners, but because of the obedience of one, Jesus Christ, then we can be made righteous through him. We're not righteous on our own. We're made righteous through Christ. Okay, so Paul also says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." And then James backs it up in James 1:15. He says, "And sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death." So, not only did death enter the world because of sin, but so did work. It's because of Adam I have to go to work 5 days a week. I thank the Lord for providing me a job. But because of that, we have to go to work. I'd much rather be lounging around in the garden, reaching out, popping fruit off, and eating it all day. Wouldn't you? I mean, that's the life. I mean, you know, we'd have it made. But because of this, we have to go to work. We tool and trouble. Even in retirement, you know, I've got 15 years. If I retire at my retirement age at 67, I got 15 years that I still have to give to my company. I've already worked there in August. It'll be 15 years at this company I'm at now. I started working when I was 13. And so I went to work, and I was working for a guy building lawnmowers and putting bicycles together for Kmart. And he hired me I think I was 15 when he let me start working with him. And so I've been working ever since. And it's a long time. But even in retirement, it's not over, friends. You don't get to start lounging around the garden eating fruit. Now, when you get to that age, now we find that all these other things, the sickness, the sorrow, the disease, all these things, now we have to start dealing with that in our old age. And so we've got doctor's appointments. Mom can sit here and tell you all the doctors she's been going to this past year because of health problems. There's not a person in this room that's not had to go to the doctor. Is anybody here not had to go to the doctor in the last 2 years? Maybe young guys. Maybe for physicals or something. But yeah, besides that, haven't we all had to go to the doctor this past year for something? Sorry, Liz. Young Liz there, too. She's not had to do anything. But see, when you get older, because of the curse of sin, then all these things start happening to us. Our bodies start falling apart. And we have to deal with that. And so even in retirement, when we all be enjoying life there, you know, in our golden age there we talk about, well, our golden age starts turning pretty brutal as we go through all these problems and struggle. And again, the curse of sin causes us to work. Even though we may circumvent having to go out and work in the garden. I mean, my dad was a school teacher, but he was off all summer long, and so we grew things in the garden, vegetables, you know, corn, potatoes, and beans, and okra, and squash, and cucumber, everything you can imagine dad would grow that would grow here. He even grew peanuts one time, and we grew strawberries. But we had a big garden behind my parents' house that he worked in all the time, all summer long, when he wasn't at the lake fishing. But he would work in that garden behind the house, and he had another garden up on the hill that on my papa's land that he shared with him, where we put out rows and rows and rows of vegetables. And so we worked, we pulled, we troubled and sweated and everything all summer long, bringing in those vegetables so we'd have something to eat. Mama would can. We had canned tomatoes and everything else, you know, tomato juice. One time we made peanut butter out of those peanuts Dad grew. It was awful. Horrible. Dad made ketchup one time out of the tomatoes. It was awful. But he tried. I mean, we really tried to do a lot of things like that. But we worked and worked and worked. And those weeds, I don't believe there was any weeds to have to contend with before the curse. I can't prove that. But the garden was perfect. It was a paradise. I can't imagine. I don't know. He made Adam the caretaker of the Garden of Eden. Maybe there was. I don't know. But weeds, you got to contend with those things. You can go out and hoe weeds out of the corn one day, and if it rained overnight, you go back the next day, and they're already back up. And so it's just constantly toiling for our troubles. Now, we can try today. We circumvent that. Work in the garden by buying canned vegetables at the store. You know, I can go down to Food City and I can buy green beans already canned and done. No work done. But I have to go to work to pay for those green beans that I buy on the shelf. So it never stops. There's never going to be a point that where you're not going to have to toil and labor because of sin. Now, some people seem to think they can get by on everybody else's work. And so they let everybody else do the work and they held their hands out and give me. Well, anyway, but even in our retirement, work's done, and God told Adam that he was going to do this until he returned back to the ground in which he came from. And dirt, 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 that's all we are, we're dirt. And so the death that sin brought was more than just a physical death, though. More than just physical death. Now, we know it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. That's what the Bible says. We're all going to physically die unless the Lord comes back and snatches us out of here before then. That would be wonderful. But if He doesn't do that before that time, we have an appointment with death. We will die a physical death. But there's two other deaths that the curse of sin has brought forth. One is a spiritual death. There was no need for Adam to be spiritually dying until sin came in. Adam wasn't spiritually dying before then. He was in communion with God. He had fellowship with God. They walked together in the garden. They talked together in the garden. It was just a relationship. But after sin, boy, he was afraid of God now. He realized he was a sinner now. God had to punish him now. He chastised him. He forced work on him. He put judgment on him and carried out the sentence. He has to carry out the sentence. And so his relationship with God then was broken. His fellowship was broken because of his disobedience. And so death brought forth more than just physical death. It brought forth spiritual death. If you're not saved today, if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are spiritually dead. You're a dead man walking if you've not received Christ today. And that's just the truth. And so there's two forms of death, but there's yet another death. And this death is because of spiritual death. If you die without Jesus Christ, you're going to die a second death, the Bible talks about. And this is the death where you will be cast into a lake of fire to burn forever. It's an eternal death. Even though it is called the second death, you're not going to be annihilated. You'll be totally aware of your surroundings, your circumstances, your pain. It will never go away. Revelation 21:8 says, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone." And this is what he says, which is the second death. And so you've got physical death, you've got spiritual death, and you have an eternal death. Three deaths because of sin. Did we put death up there? Yeah, we got death up there. But there's three of them. So, all right, so we see, what an awful, awful thing has happened because of sin. And, you know, we trivialize sin these days. Today, a man will sin, and he prays for it a lot of times. It's nothing to be praised for, and it's not trivial. It's deadly. The last part of verse 17, back in our text, God goes on pronouncing this curse. And listen to what he says. He said, "Thou shalt not eat of it." Talking about the tree of life, the trees in the garden. "Cursed is the ground for thy sake. And sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life." So because of Adam's sin, he no longer has the luxury of reaching out and pulling out a piece of fruit and eating off the tree. Now he has to work and sweat. And not only does he work and sweat, but he says he's going to do it in sorrow. You think I enjoy going to work every day? I go into work with dread and sorrow. And I go in and when my boss says, "Hey, Byron, I need to talk to you," you better believe I've got sorrow coming. And so, because of this sin, Adam now is going to sorrow in his labors and his tools all through the garden and working for a living. And no doubt every day he's going to get up and say, "Oh man, I got to go back out in the garden where you ain't got nothing to eat. Eve is hungry and I'm hungry. We've got to get something." And so he's going to have to go out there and in sorrow start digging the ground. He didn't have the farm tools we have today. You know, Papaw used a mule and a plow, and a disc. He had a big old disc, and he would go and disc the ground up and all that stuff. But Adam didn't even have that. Nowadays, we got a John Deere tractor. We can get out there, a Massey Ferguson. We go out there and get it all done like that. But Adam had nothing but his hands. Probably, maybe he used limbs off trees and made something to dig with. I don't know, but he had to go out there by hand and work and sorrow and tool and sweat. And so, verse 18, it goes further than just the curse on Adam. Look at that. It says thorns, verse 18, "Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field." So now this curse is also given to the ground. Because of it, Adam will have to deal with weeds, thorns, thistles, all these things coming up and choking out the food that he grows. He probably would go out there and work and dig around and, things would be growing and he'd be happy about it. And then the next day he'd go out there and there'd be thorns and thistles growing around. And he's like, "What in the world?" So he's out there having to dig all that stuff out. And so if you've ever planted a garden, you know what kind of sorrow Adam was going through because of this. Look at verse 19. It says, "In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Look at all that. The ground, dust, and dust. He keeps talking about, the Lord keeps talking about the dirt. That's what he brought Adam from. Remember, he took the dust of the ground and he breathed life into it and formed man. And breathed life into his nostrils and gave him spirit and soul. Well, he tells Adam that you're going to return right back to that dirt I brought you from. That's all you are. You're nothing but dirt. You might have heard that saying, ashes to ashes and dust to dust. Everybody heard that? They used to say that a lot. You could go to a funeral and they'll be at the graveside and they'll say, ashes to ashes and dirt to dirt, you know. This actually comes from the Book of Common Prayer from the Anglican Church. Back in the Reformation, the Anglican Church came up with this, and it's called the Book of Common Prayer. They've got all these different things that they say and they recite. But it's a combination of what we just read here in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 19, where he tells him he'd be returned to the dust of the ground. And then they take a portion from Job 30 and 19, where Job says this, "He has cast me into the mire, and I am become like dust and ashes." And so they take the words of Job, they take the words of God there with Adam in the garden about return to dust. So dust to ashes, and dust to dust. That's where that comes from. So man must return back to the place that he originated from, and where God had created him from. We talked about this, was it last week, I believe, when I was preaching out of Job, about how Job, being even the oldest book of the Bible, yet Job had such a clear understanding of what God's intentions were for man and what would happen to man when he did die. And no doubt that was passed down all the way, starting from Adam, all through as it descended on, all the way to Job, as Job understands this. And he says this in Job 19, 25 through 27. He said, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." So Job understands his body is going to go back to the ground. His skin will be eaten by skin worms. It's good, nothing. But Job also had hope, and he knew there was a Redeemer. Isn't that wonderful? All the way back then, Jesus had come in earthly flesh. God hadn't come to the earth in flesh yet in Job's day. Job probably didn't have quite near the understanding that we have about what Christ did when he came. But he did understand that God was sending a Redeemer and that he needed to have him as his Redeemer. So Job placed his faith in this Redeemer that God promised. And so Job, we see that's a sign or an indication of a saved person in the Old Testament. As Job understood who his Redeemer was, by faith he believes this. He'd never seen God. No man's seen God. But Job knew what it was. And he knew that even though his body would return to the ground, he would have a Redeemer. Now, one of these days, the curse of sin will be broken. We'll no longer have to sweat, toil, labor, sorrow. None of this will ever happen again in one day. And this is where we're told in Revelation 22, 1 through 3. And John the Apostle, as he's giving out the apocalypse here, what God gave him in a vision, the future time to come, when the Lord's going to sum all this up. And he says in Revelation 22, 1 through 3, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." Listen to this, verse 3. "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him." You see that? Things will go back to the way God originally designed it. Back the way it was in the Garden of Eden when it was literal paradise. You remember the thief on the cross beside Jesus, he said, "On this day thou shalt be with me in" where? Paradise. And so God is going to go back to the way that things originally were. Everything, we're going to go back to this. And did you see that? There's going to be a tree of life there. And we can eat of it. 12 different manner of fruits, it says. Yield every fruit of the month. We don't know. I've taught on this before. It's kind of hard to tell exactly what this is. If there's 12 different kind of fruit, every month there's a new fruit. Wouldn't that be something? You go out there one day, there's an apple. In the next month, you go out there and there are bananas. And the next, I don't know. That would just be, that'd be awesome. There's probably some fruits we've never heard of or seen before. I don't know. Probably the, you know, one of these fruits in the garden that we didn't ever see. But I'd say that's exciting. But that part there in verse 3 where it said there'd be no more curse. That right there, friends, is the day that we all are looking forward to. No more curse. The Lord tells us to come unto Him. You know, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. This is our rest when we get to be there with Him. Verse 20, back in our text. We got time there. And Adam? All right, so let's stop here a minute. So we've looked at this curse on man. We saw it affected the ground. We saw it affected all men since Adam. We've looked at all these things here. We've listed 13. I thought of something else there, but I can't remember what it was again. But can anybody think of anything else we need to add to this list this morning?
We didn't have to have salvation.
That's true. That's true. We were already saved. So
because of that, we needed a Redeemer. Because we didn't have to have a Redeemer until then. So, okay, there's 14 things
because of sin that now we have to have. So all this judgment because of sin. So you tell me, is sin just something to deal lightly with?
I think God takes it pretty serious. It's lesson 14, by the way. How long did I tell you it's going to take us to get through Genesis?
10 years. I don't know. Okay, so let's start there in verse 20, and we'll talk about Adam renaming Eve, or his wife, the woman, to Eve. And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Okay, so we find now that Adam renames his wife. We already studied it already where he named her woman. He said to name her woman because she came from a man. We told you the word woman means a womb man, a man with a womb. And so Genesis 2, 22 through 23, it says, "In the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of a man." Now, on a side note, we didn't mention this last when we studied about the creation of man and woman. But we don't see where it ever tells us exactly when Adam was named Adam. Now, we know he's a man, but it just suddenly starts calling him Adam in Genesis 2:19. All before that, it just said man, and then in Genesis 2:19, it starts calling him Adam. The name Adam is a reference to the ground, by the way. It's where it comes from. I've got it written down here in Hebrew. It's called Adama, A-D-A-M-A-H. And so that word is translated also into the color red. So kind of the reddish color of dirt. And so the name Adam actually is referring to the dirt of the ground. So man also is from the dirt of the ground. His name's Adam. But we're not actually told when God named him that until we got to Genesis 2:19. I guess it's there. Anyway, getting back to Adam renaming or giving the woman a given name, a proper name. See, he's had one, Adam. He's man and Adam. And now all of a sudden she's going to get a name. Instead of just being called woman, she's going to be called Eve. It says in verse 20, Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. The name Eve means life. That's what it means. It means living or life. And that's what he called her from. It means she is the mother of all human race as we trace it back to Eve. At this point, Eve is not a mother. She's not a mother. We don't know exactly the time period before she became a mother. We don't know until Seth's born how old they are. They're 130 when Seth's born. But she has Cain and Abel before then, so we don't know how long a period it took, whether it's a matter of a year, 2 years, or 100 years. I don't know how long it was. But regardless, at this point right here, she's not a mother. However, what this does indicate to us, since Adam called her the mother of all living, or Eve, we do know that Adam believes God. What did God say to the serpent? He said that his seed will be in enmity with her seed. The seed of the woman. So Adam believes God that Eve is going to have a seed of her own. Now, does he understand exactly what that means? I don't know. I mean, he knows what a seed is because they have fruit, and fruit usually has a seed. And so I know he has an understanding of seed, that it comes from whatever's produced that came from that. So he knows that Eve somehow is going to have a seed. Well, if an apple seed grows an apple, then a woman's seed is going to grow a person, right? Because she's a person. So he had some kind of understanding. She's going to be the mother of all living. That's why he calls her Eve. Life. He knows that all life's going to come to her. But one thing that you need to understand from this, we see that despite Adam's rebellion against God, his outright sin against God, he's now come to the understanding of who God is. God is master. God's ruler. God's the one that's pronounced a curse on me. God is the one that I have to answer to. And he believes God for what he said. And so that's something important there. You may overlook that, but you need to know that Adam believes God. He don't believe Satan. See, at this point right here, he could say, well, that God's a mean old God. That serpent was a lot better to us. He come talking nice and offering us things and eternal life and everything else. This God right here, he could have done it that way and said, I'll serve the serpent. I'll serve evil. But no, he don't. He says, or he don't say he believes God, but his actions indicate he believes God. So he's going to continue following God. Now, we know that God designed the woman to have children. That's why he said this to him in Genesis 1, 27 through 28. It says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him, male and female, created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. That's what he told them to do. And so we all know what that means. We're all adults here. They had to come together as a husband and wife, and they would be fruitful and multiply, meaning from them they would multiply into other just like them and replenish this earth with them. So God also mentioned while he was placing the curse upon the serpent that he and the woman would have seed as well. So Satan has also got seed, and the woman is going to have seed and bring forth children. Now, another thing to take notice of, Adam also did not leave Eve because of her rebellion. You see, today people are just so willing to just give up on a marriage. Adam could have said, well, that woman, she's the one that caused all this problem for me. I'll just go away and leave her on her own. Let her figure out how to live. You know? Because I was much better off where I took her advice. But he didn't do that. He stayed with her. He loved her. And so even though she's caused the worst thing to happen in all of history thus so far, yet he still has a desire for her. He's still attracted to her. He still wants her. And you talk about for better or worse. You know, you marry somebody for better or worse. One of my worst was this past Christmas when I was sick the whole time. Mary had to put up with me. That's for worse. But imagine Adam. You got to think every time that he saw her for a while, all he can think about is, oh, you caused me to do this. It's your fault I'm out here in this garden having to work, and I'm out here in the ground tolling and sweating. Look at you sitting in here. I don't know, but that's me. Anyway, but Adam didn't leave his wife or divorce her. He stayed with her. Look at verse 21. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Well, this is another sign also of God's grace and mercy. God couldn't let them out on their own to be, exposed. But you see, because of their sin and their ashamed, they're being ashamed now, they're shameful. God, in all of his grace and mercy, he says, listen, I'm going to cover your shame. I'm going to cover your disobedience because I know that's brought forth shame. And so what does he do? But to do this, he's going to have to kill. He's going to have to kill an animal. So we see the first death in the Bible. God takes an animal. We don't know what kind it was, but he takes an animal skins and he has to kill an animal. Adam and Eve has never seen anything like this in their life. And so now they have to witness the brutal death of an animal because of them, because of their sin. So an animal had to be killed to clothe them. And as far as we know, nothing had ever died since creation, until this point. And so an animal died for Adam and Eve's sin, and this is also called an act of an atonement. And so the Lord will replicate this all through the years, especially through the Jew. We'll see as they bring sacrifices. This is one of the first sacrifices. God sacrifices an animal to cover man. And it's, you know, it's a sign or a symbol of that. And so, verse 22, it says, "And the Lord God said, Behold, the man has become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life, and eat and live forever." Pause there for a minute. This is interesting. First of all, God uses the word us right here. The last time he did this, he was talking there in creation. And let us create a man. And from all indications, he's talking about the triune Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. They're all involved in this. They're all involved in the covering of the sin, the atonement. And that's the same thing there today. When you're saved, you're convicted by the whole... Okay, let me back up. When you get saved, it begins with God. It all begins with God. God draws you. Now, how does he do that? He draws you through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so you've got God drawing you. His Holy Spirit is convicting. The Holy Spirit convicts and convinces you of sin. So you're convicted by the Holy Spirit. God's drawing you. You're convicted by the Holy Spirit. You realize your need for what? A Savior. A Redeemer. Somebody to redeem you of your sins. This is where Christ comes in. So now you have God the Father drawing you, the Holy Spirit doing the convincing and convicting, and so you have to plead and fall down at the feet of the mercy and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so all three of them are involved in your salvation. All three are involved right here in the punishment of man and the judgment of man and the atonement of man. And that's also interesting there that God has already said that their sin would bring forth death. But yet right here he says that lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. And so it's apparent from reading the Bible that there was a possibility that Adam could go in there and eat from that tree God created and continue to live. Now, while he may have physically continued to live, he's still spiritually dead. If he'd have done that, he'd still be spiritually dead because he would still be in rebellion against God. And so it's still death. And as I studied this, I was reading different commentators, and one had a pretty good explanation. He says this. He said that if God were to allow him to remain in the garden and ate of the tree of life, it would essentially be hell on earth for Adam because he would still be a wretched and corrupt man. He'd still be dead spiritually. And so I believe there's something to that. And so God prevents Adam from being able to come in and still... He knows Adam would be tempted to that. He's witnessed the death of an animal and how awful it was. Adam don't want to go through that. If that's death, Adam's not going to want that. And so naturally, if he was in the garden, he'd listen. That's the tree over there. God said it was the tree of life. If we eat of that thing, maybe we won't have to die. And you know that'd be a temptation for him. And so this is another act of God's grace. He got them out of the temptation of going in there to that garden and eating of that tree of life. And so look at what he does to them in verse 23. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. And so Adam and Eve were banished from the garden. No longer are they going to be able to enjoy paradise. But listen, you're going out into the wild and woolly. And that's the way you are. If you're a sinner today, if you've not been saved, listen, you're living out here in a life just like a wild animal. You're in the wild side. Until you receive Christ as your Savior, you're not protected from that. And Adam and Eve, they're now not protected by the garden. They're banished out there into the wilderness. Adam, you're going to have to work and sweat and toil and sorrow. Eve, you're going to have pain and labors and childbirth and sorrow over your children. And everything that you desire, your husband's going to have the okay on it. He's going to be the one to rule over you. And so now their life is so different. Boy, you talk about a difference in a life. You know, some people you see go through life and have a good life and something happens and then their life is just crumbles from there on out. That's what's happened to them. I mean, their life is completely turned 180 degrees. And so Adam will go out and labor and tool. Eve will have children, experience the pain of childbirth. She will have to experience the death of her child. Her own children, one will kill the other. Murder. I mean, awful. I mean, that right there in itself is going to be like a literal hell on earth to have to go through that. But despite being driven from paradise, Adam and Eve still have something. a glimmer of hope that there is grace, and in the future, that God would restore them back to where they came from. And so there's always that glimmer of hope there. Listen, there's still a hope for us. Even though we're thrown out there in the wilderness and we're banished and we're an enmity with God because we're all sinners, all sin, the Bible said. But because of Christ, we now have that connection. We all have that hope. If you've been saved, your hope now lies in heaven. Your citizenship lies in heaven. And we have hope one day that we will return to that paradise. And all of our sorrows, all the curse of sin, all these 14 things that we've listed over here, completely gone forever. Listen, friends, we're partakers of God's grace too. Adam and Eve, Adam lived to be, 960 years old? Years and years and years of sorrow and toil. While we may not live 960 years like Adam did, while we're on this earth, we're going to be full of trouble, full of sorrow. But one day, we do have hope, and our hope is in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Bible study this morning. Lord, thank you for revealing to us in Scripture what we've learned. And God, we pray that we take this further than just our classroom, God, but we'll meditate upon it. We'll apply it to our lives and our hearts. Tell it to our children, our family, our friends, God, everybody that we can, Lord, to warn them, God. Lord, to live this life without Christ is to live a life spiritually dead. And Lord, that one day it'll be a life of eternal death. Help us, Father. Help us in the service coming up. Lord, may we glorify you in everything we do. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Wow. That was timing.